Log Talk Radio.
Hey, Tropical Turmoil fans, welcome to the show here on another Sunday afternoon. Hope everyone is staying safe out there. And we want to get things underway here. This is, of course, Sign Guy with you, as well as JB Moonshine and QT Vokes. And we want to jump into things right away. Our guest is with us. We've been anticipating him for several weeks now. Very excited to have a man that was known by many names. Mean Mark Canterbury, Shanghai Pierce, Henry O. Godwin, whichever one you most remember him, all the same man. Mr. Canterbury, thank you very much for being on the show today.
Thank you. It's nice being here. Let's not forget Southern Justice for a little spell there.
Most definitely Southern Justice. Well, since it is your first time with us, I want to start you out with our traditional first-timer question. What led to you getting into the business of professional wrestling?
Oh, my God. I've watched it since I was a kid. Grew up in Northern Virginia and West Virginia. I spent a lot of time down here. But, yeah, watched a lot of Saturday morning wrestling back in the 70s. And then finally I met Italian Stallion and Gorgeous George South up here, down here in West Virginia, and worked with them for a couple of years, and then started doing TVs in WCW, and Dusty and Cowboy Bill Watts gave me my first job on the road with Eric Watts.
Now, most of your career, you were with one of the national companies, be it WCW and then later the WWF, WWE.
Mm-hmm.
How would you compare working for the two bigger companies of the time? I know there's probably a lot of similarities, a lot of differences, but in your eyes, what were some of the bigger differences they had?
Opportunity. We had more of an opportunity in WWF than we did in WCW. It seemed like more hands-on, like there was more involvement with your character and where it's going, and, you know, and Vince was always in on a lot of our stuff too, so that was one of the big differences for me.
And when you mention having a better opportunity, a lot of times that will come with a better chance of advancement, and that leads, of course, to better opportunity for pay. You don't have to give, like, specifics out there, but what would you say was the biggest paying show that you ever worked on?
Oh, God. Let's see. Of course, the WrestleManias, one of the best paying was the Hogpen match in Hershey, Pennsylvania with me and Triple H.
That match I remember very vividly, and I remember Triple H having a pretty good gash after that match. When you went into the Hogpen match, did you have an idea of how that was going to be set up going into it, or was it something that they kind of mapped out as they went along?
Believe it or not, Vince left it up to me and Hunter. So me and Hunter, you know, everybody thought it was going to be just a ha-ha match, you know, some pig slop and all that. But me and Hunter didn't want it to be that. We wanted a good, solid match. And, And at the end, we were both sore, and my mouth was bleeding. He had 15 stitches he had to get after the match in his back. And when we walked back, a bloody, shitty mess from the hog pen, Vince said, "I can't believe you guys pulled that off. That was the best match of the night." So when Vince tells you that, it's pretty exciting.
I can imagine it is, for sure. Now, one of the things that you always had in your career was kind of a brawling type of style. You were kind of the bigger brawling type of wrestler. When you were in there with some of the bigger guys and you were having the brawling style of matches, who would you say out there had the best punch in wrestling?
Oh, man, there was quite a few. Bret Hart had a good one. The first time me and Taker and really become friends was when I started in WWF. And after me and him had that good, solid match, there was a lot of people having good punches. Bob Holly, Billy Gunn, there was a lot of them.
Now, on kind of the flip side of that, you also would work a lot of smaller guys, the kind of high flyers and the more agile type of wrestlers. Did you enjoy having the sort of style clash matches where you'd go up against the guys that would do kind of the cruiserweight style or the lucha libre style?
Yeah, I did enjoy that because, you know, when we were in WCW, Arn Anderson always told me and Tex, you know, he said, "You guys are too good at making other people look good." He said, "You got to start taking more." But yeah, I could move a lot back then, you know, so I didn't mind doing the high flying little guys or, you know, the next night going up against like a Vader or, you know, a Taker or Kevin Nash. We were very versatile.
Now, in your career, people can get on YouTube and look it up, but you wrestled a lot of guys that had not become famous yet that would go on to be famous, guys like a Rob Van Dam, Rhino, Tajiri, a lot of guys like that would wrestle you as more or less unknown talent at the time. Were there any opponents that you wrestled that weren't well known that you recommended to the powers that be that they should get a look for a higher profile job?
Yeah, Edge. I was I worked Edge by myself on his dark match when he started in WWF. Me and him was just talking about that not too long ago. So, yeah, that for example, that's one that I did recommend was Edge. We had a good little match.
I think that worked out very well.
Yeah.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host JB Moonshine is with us, and he has been giddy with anticipation for this very interview, so I'm going to pass things along to him for a bit.
I like his name.
Yeah, I'm trying not to mark out too much, because, like, I grew up watching you guys, Hillbilly Jim. I mean, I became a wrestler, and my whole gimmick is kind of based on your guys' stuff. I mean, overall, the whole Hillbilly I come up, I mean, yeah. So I'm like,
that's awesome.
I even named I have a finisher, it's a completely different one, but I even named it the Swab Drop because of your guys' thing. But okay. One of the questions is since you started in the late 80s, early 90s and stuff like that, what's your thought like from wrestling compared to when you guys started like wrestling today? I mean, what would you compare, like, what was better in a way, you know? I mean, because social media here, kayfabe is kind of like all ruined. And
wrestling then and wrestling now, oh, my God. Let's see, how can I sum this up? We were outlaws back then, and now they're preppy schoolboys. How about that?
I completely see that. I have the same. I watched it from then, and then now it's like sometimes I'm like, yeah, it's a little. I always wanted to know.
I just don't think the boys enjoy it as much as we did. You know, times have changed. It's more of a business now. It's entertainment. It's trying out for a new movie spot. It's a lot different. You know, the boys, we had each other on the road, and we acted like we were on the road, but we had a good time, tried to take care of each other. It's a lot different now.
Totally. That's what I think. I mean, if you're not having fun no more, then, you know. I was always curious because I remember you guys always coming out with the bucket, the swamp bucket, you dump it on people and everything. I was always curious, what was it? What did you make? I mean, it always looked like puke. It looked like something nasty.
It was just leftovers from like TV. We would, we always had catered meals. And so I would make mine early in the day and let it sit and get all nice and juicy. But it was usually like lettuce, rice, ranch, bread, water, spaghetti, just whatever I felt like mixing. And when Sonny got it on, when Sonny got slopped that night, I don't know if y'all ever heard that story, but there was some extra stuff in it that night from the locker room.
I've heard that back then that people could be a little bit more, you know.
Brutal.
Was it planned, or did you guys do it to people that didn't even want it done? I mean, was it like, did anybody get pissed off because of you slopping them?
No, nobody ever really minded. Of course, poor Hunter, man, he got it for like 6 months every night. And so I tipped my hat to him, but he was a trooper through it. But, you know, we had a good time with that whole little marriage me and him had. And we were always good friends anyway, so our chemistry was good together. But, yeah.
Since you've heard enough wrestle like everywhere and like, all over the place and stuff and done a little bit of both, what did you ever prefer? Did you like doing the whole WCW, WWE thing, or did you like doing the indie wrestling more? I mean,
oh my gosh. Of course I was brought up with some good people in the indie business, you know. Italian Stallion trained me, Gorgeous George, you know, George South trained me. Back then, I got to work with Ivan Koloff, Ronnie Garvin. So I had good supporting locker room around me, which helped me a lot. But now I did like getting the break, you know, with Dusty and Bill Watts, and then, you know, when Ric Flair come back out of retirement to WCW, they got rid of a lot of the young guys, me, Tex, Triple H. So, I went up to WWF, but I think that was my best move, and it paid off for me, I think.
I definitely like to see you when you went to attend the WWF and whatever. And I like the whole, you guys had like a lot more free run, and I like the whole everything that you guys were doing there. And and managing that, or the team, or having Hillbilly Jim as his manager. I mean, it was like, you guys were like my favorite stable, I tell you.
Yeah, we had some good managers up there too. We had Hillbilly Jim, we had Dirty White Boy, aka Uncle Cletus.
Oh, I remember him.
We had Jeff Jarrett was our manager when we were Southern Justice, Colonel Parker. So we had some good supporting managers.
I did like that. From back then to compare today, there was a lot more and a lot better managers back then, and then now it's like they're like very rare.
Yeah, and if they're and they're very rare being good too.
Yeah. Okay. I have a question. Out of anybody you've worked, and it doesn't matter where, or whatever. Who was like the easiest one to work, and who was like the most difficult one to work?
Oh Lordy. Well. That's the hearts. The Road Warriors were hard to work with sometimes. Believe it or not, so I've always liked working the big guys, like Vader. You know, he was. But we were all back in the old school era. Everything was stiff. You know, even Brett. We always said he was laying those rubber mallets in because he laid his shit in. But that's just the way we were. I loved working Taker. You can watch that match. It was a TV match. Me and Kevin Nash had a hell of a match on TV, just beat the piss out of each other. But that's what we liked. Everybody liked that back then. That was part of the business. And down Survivor Series, you look at our Survivor Series when we were on Taker's team in 1995. You watch that match,
yeah.
And then watch this last Survivor Series, their top match. And tell me which one you think was rough and tough.
I definitely remember watching you guys back then, and I even actually wrestled that way and stuff and worked that way when I was trained. I mean, I try to be a little bit on the smarter side because it's like I don't like the whole word. It looks like you know, for you're not touching them. I mean, you don't beat them up. You know, that's how it works. I mean. I'm not trying to kill the guy, but I want people out there to see what's going on, you know.
Yeah, and I don't give nothing that I won't take.
That's exactly, you know. Yeah, if I do it, you give it back to me. I mean, yeah, same way.
Just take care of me and do it right.
Yes. As long as everything is safe, I'm, you know. Okay, well, here on Turnbuckle, we usually play this game called Word Association. It's where I give you a name or whatever, and you give me, like, one word to describe that person.
Okay.
And so we'll go with Sting.
Sting? What did you say?
Yeah, Sting.
Sting, when I remember Sting, hilarious. Yeah.
Okay. How about Eric Bischoff? Eric Bischoff.
Dick.
Okay. Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Intelligent.
How about Vince Russo?
You said one word, but I'm going to have to go dumbass on that.
Okay. We will accept that. Vince McMahon.
Brutal.
Okay.
Vince is a very hard worker. I can't believe the time and effort he's put into this. I'm just going to say
the king.
The king, okay. How about Ric Flair?
Oh, I don't know. I could go so many ways. I'm just going to say, let's go party animal.
Party animal. We'll do a tag team this time. How about a Legion of Doom, LOD?
Stiff. Yep.
Okay. Yeah. Ted DiBiase.
Oh my God, that's my dad, man. That he's the only one that got a little upset, but not with me about the slopping. You know, he got a slot. He got slopped three times. So first time he said, any more sloppings, Vince is going to have. So I think Vince had to buy him two new suits.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go with the smoking guns.
Oh, my Road Brothers. Wow. Just comical. Good guys.
Okay. How about Razor Ramon?
Good in his prime, sad right now.
Okay. Let's say, how about we go with your partner, Phineas?
Who?
Phineas.
Phineas? My partner?
Yeah, your partner.
Oh, my God. Just a big, big bundle of joy, Tex is. He's, me and him been together since 92, and we lived together for years, and we never had one cross word in 20-some years, so he's definitely my brother.
Good. And then let's go with one more. How about Hillbilly Jim?
Who?
Hillbilly Jim, your manager.
Hillbilly Jim. Oh, big, sexy Hillbilly Jim. Never been married. Likes to go to the smokehouse. Let's see. Just a big teddy bear.
Okay. Well, it's been a complete joy talking to you and having that be able to ask these questions. So it's been a real joy. But I'm done and I'm kind of out. So I guess I'll leave it up to GT.
Okay.
Well, thank you, DB. Hello, Mr. Canterbury. How's it going?
Oh, not too bad. How you guys doing?
Oh, I'm doing very well. Mr. Canterbury, it's well known that Jerry Lawler ran for mayor of Memphis three times. My question is, were you on his campaign staff?
No, but I definitely would have been if all he had to do was ask.
Oh, okay. That was a send-in question from one of our groupies. Our groupies asked that question via text.
Wow, that's cool.
Oh, okay. Well, Mark, I saw your YouTube video entitled Razor Ramon versus Henry Godwin, and I'm sure you wrestled him a whole bunch, but I think Jim Cornette was commentating in that match, and he said that while you were wrestling Razor Ramon, he mentioned that a hotel in Bitters, Arkansas was so small that they stole his towel. Can you yourself confirm at the time of your match with Razor that Bitters, Arkansas, indeed only had one hotel?
Yes, it did, and it was a mosey wosey. You had to hold on to everything when you stayed there.
Oh, There is indeed a Bitters, Arkansas. Oh, okay. Isn't that near Hot Springs, Arkansas?
Not too far.
Oh, okay. You know that Hot Springs, Arkansas sometimes saw 1930s gangsters, especially I think it was Bill Dellinger and Machine Gun Kelly actually come down to Arkansas, and Al Capone did, and use their hot springs. Did you know this?
Yes, I did. But there's no bigger gangster than when the BSK rolled up, when you had Yokozuna, Fatu, Godfather, Taker, me and Phineas, Savio, Paul Bear. I mean, that was a rough bunch.
Yes, and they led a cleaner lifestyle than Machine Gun Kelly and Bugs Moran, who used a hot spring, a much cleaner lifestyle. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm just hoping that J.B. Moonshine will someday get the opportunity to use the hot springs in Arkansas. J.B. Moonshine. That's what I hope.
J.B., okay. I hope you do too. But where I'm at, we have a hot springs in North Carolina, which is about not too far from me. And I have been to Hot Springs, North Carolina, and those springs are pretty nice too. So if you ever get out on the East Coast, we'll get some of the West Virginia Mountain Dew, and we'll go over to the hot springs in North Carolina.
Maybe.
We'll see if it's really J.B. Moonshine.
That would be totally awesome.
Great. Well, Mark, in the match with Razor Ramon, at least the one match that I saw, Razor Ramon wore knee pads and elbow pads, while you didn't. Looking back at your career in hindsight, do you know then that you should have used knee pads and elbow pads more often?
Right by name already.
You broke it.
Oh, in your match with Razor Ramon, he wore knee pads and elbow pads. Do you wish now, looking back at your career, that you would have worn them more often? Knee pads and elbow pads?
The elbow pads would have helped more. I wore some knee, not knee braces, just support sometimes. But, you know, I used to bust the bursar sacs in my elbows all the time. They would just, I mean, we were in Germany one tour, and they pulled like 200 cc's of fluid off my elbow over there. So, yeah, sometimes I wish I had all the little fancy gadgets and the pads and the bright colors, but I wouldn't trade it for my overalls and my boots.
Oh, okay. Well, now, speaking of bright pads, in that match with Razor Ramon, you wore a nice yellow shirt underneath your coveralls. Do you now see a lot of children in your area, maybe your hometown, wearing yellow shirts?
You know, I have noticed that, and then I even got compared to what's those little animated minions. I even got compared to them. But back then, a lot of the kids, like when I was living in Pigeon Forge, Gatlinburg, Tennessee, we wrestled in Knoxville, and a lot of the local kids, they all showed up in overalls and yellow shirts. So yeah, I've seen a lot of that.
Did you ever have a chance to meet Dolly Parton in Tennessee?
I was in her parade. Me and my son was in her parade. He got to meet her. She waved at me.
Oh, okay. You didn't take a pail of slop and slopper, though, did you?
No. It could have happened, though.
Oh, okay. I hear that she has, if she gets to know you like Johnny Carson, and she would probably let you do it for charity. She's that type of person, Dolly Parton. Yes.
Oh yeah, she's a great person. And, I would love to do something. I would even let her slot me for charity.
Oh, okay. Well, yes, I think J.B. Moonshine would also let Dolly Parton slot him. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
For sure.
Well, now in your video with Razor Ramon, one of the commentators mentioned that NFL star Lawrence Taylor was training to become a wrestler and that his debut match would be against Bam Bam Bigelow. Do you know if this match ever came to fruition, Lawrence Taylor versus Bam Bam?
Well, now, from what I remember, I was on Bam Bam's team when all that was the 95, right? Correct me?
I think so.
Yeah, that's when Lawrence Taylor and Bam Bam had their match. But I was on a thing in New York at Times Square where we had a ring set up at Times Square and we had that big little mini Royal Rumble. It was me and Shawn Michaels was there and Kevin Nash and Bam Bam and Lawrence Taylor and some of the NFL guys. Yeah, that was I forgot all about that until you just brought it up.
No, okay. Very good. Very good. I'm glad I did. Okay. Well, Mark, did you ever see the movie Major Payne with Damon Wayans?
Yeah. Bam Bam was in it.
Yes. What did you think about the part of Bam, that Bam Bam Bigelow had in that movie when he confronted Major Payne?
I liked it. I can't remember the movie all that good, but I know some of us had talked about how mean Bam Bam looked, but he did a good job in the movie. It was actually a good movie.
Oh, okay, very good. All right. Well, Mark, a wrestler named the Roadie made an appearance and distracted Razor. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil fans who this Roadie was? And were the rumors true that when he wasn't wrestling, he was a roadie for the rock group Warrant and the singer Madonna?
The only roadie I know was Road Dogg.
Oh, okay. Well, he did distract Razor, but then a wrestler named the 1-2-3 Kid came down. Do you remember the appearance in that match?
Maybe it's a baby
connect
for
them.
Don't remember that exactly.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that you must have had several of those type of matches, especially with Razor. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Mark, did you ever have a chance to meet a 7-foot wrestler named Jeff Bearden?
Bearden. I can't remember. I may have. I'm not saying I didn't.
Well, he used to wrestle quite a bit in Africa, and he was mentioned in a book, Lance by Chance. And he was Jeff was stabbed by a fan in Africa. And if the Razor had gone in at a different angle, he probably would have had his aorta cut. It was all about the knife angle. My question is, did any fans ever have stab you?
I never got stabbed, but I did get hit a couple times. I got hit with a cane by an older lady. I retaliated on some people and actually had some charges pending against me, three of them to be exact. I know we were in Worcester, Mass one night, and we were wrestling the Harris twins in a strap match. And a guy hit me in the back, come across the rail and hit me in the back, and I swung and hit him on the neck with that big 3-inch strap. And, I've had a couple run-ins like that. Nothing real major.
Oh, okay. That's good. That's good. The history of wrestling is littered with fans that have had too much to drink. But it seems
They took
wrestling in Africa way too more seriously, and fans actually rioted and threw chairs at the wrestlers in the ring and stuff. Yes.
Wow. Yeah, I know We had a good time when we were in South Africa. We wrestled over there, and we had some good houses, but we didn't really have any trouble over there.
Okay. All right.
Well, guys, you know that Mark Canterbury's time was a little bit short today, so I want to let him go like we agreed. And before you take off, Mr. Canterbury, if there's anything that you wanted to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything and everything you'd want, social medias, merchandise, upcoming shows, your favorite charity, anything in the world, the floor is all yours.
I just, you know, I hope and pray that things get a little bit back to normal so we can get out here and have our run these indie shows and do our legend shows where we can do signings again. And I think people really need to look and see what's going on in our country, though. And, you know, we don't need to be against each other anymore. I'm about fed up with the politicians. I think we need to save our country and all get along. And I'm just hoping that we can get back to some normalcy here pretty soon. And I appreciate you guys having me on. I got a virtual signing going to be starting here pretty soon, in a week or two. I know Savio Vega and me and some other guy and Dennis Phineas is working on trying to get a BSK signing together with Godfather and Rikishi. I don't know if Undertaker would come to that, but definitely us five are trying to get something hooked up. So we'll just see what happens in 2021. And I hope and pray that it's all good for you guys and stay safe. And God bless the USA.
Absolutely. Thank you very, very much for taking time to be with us today. We appreciate it greatly. We all definitely enjoyed having you on the show. We all enjoyed watching your career. Hopefully we'll cross paths someday to Hot Springs or a convention or something like that.
Yeah, maybe we can do it again. Maybe we can get Phineas on here or something.
Absolutely. Awesome. We would definitely welcome that.
Yeah. Will you guys be safe out there on the West Coast?
Will do, and be safe out there in your neck of the woods, and hopefully we'll get to do this again sometime in the future, and hopefully we'll cross paths.
Yeah, you guys keep in touch.
Will do. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, guys, we definitely had a legendary competitor on the show today. I believe he might be the guest that had the most recent episode of Monday Night Raw before coming on Turnbuckle Turmoil that we've had. He was on 6 weeks ago, I think, something like that. JB, correct me if I'm off in my math.
It's about that. It was the whole farewell taker where they made appearances. It was about, I think, about 6 weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Can you imagine if someone had bothered him the day he was doing his bit on the pay-per-view with the Undertaker sitting there trying to prepare in the green room and somebody was pestering him to do interviews or something like that? That would have been horrible.
Didn't you message him like maybe a day before that Raw aired or during that time?
Well, he might have been doing a run through when I asked. That might be why we have heat with the Undertaker. I'm not saying we do, but if we do, that might be why.
You don't interrupt the man's sale.
Well, apparently sometimes I do. QT, how much would you pay to see Henry Godwin walk to the ring in his trademark overalls but wearing one of those neon-collared JB Moonshine T-shirts?
Well, that would be one of the top 10 highlights in my wrestling career.
That would be awesome. Next time he comes on the road, have a moonshine shirt.
Yeah.
It could happen.
At this time, I'd like to thank our mystery texter who had that question about Jerry Lawler running for mayor three times, and if Mark was one of his political advisors. That was a very good question from a mystery texter. Yes.
Your wrestling source in Shelton, Washington, I'm sure sitting at home giving us a thumbs up on the answer.
Oh, yeah. Thumbs up or thumbs down, yes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, now I realize that Mark had to go off the air a little bit early, but I was going to ask him if he had ever duck hunted with Stone Cold Steve Austin, because Steve Austin used to take some wrestlers out duck hunting on his ranch in Texas, like who was that? It was I forget. It was some other wrestler, Ravishing Rick Rude. Yes, he took Ravishing Rick Rude duck hunting. I wonder if Mark ever went duck hunting with Stone Cold.
I can't confirm or deny if he did, but I believe Steve Austin still takes people hunting on his ranch for his reality show. I believe that new season kicks off tomorrow night, so he might be hunting on television with a famous wrestler within the next 36 hours.
Wow. All right. Okay. Do you think how do you think JB would do in duck hunting with Stone Cold?
JB, how many ducks could you normally bag in a hunting trip?
I think I went duck hunting once or twice and caught nothing but a cold.
I'm gonna say not too good, QT.
Oh, all right. Oh, okay. Well, JB,
if you need some tips on how to improve your hunting skills, I recommend going over to the Roseburg YouTube channel, Ray Rowe, whom you might know as Eric from the Viking Raiders, and his wife, Sarah Logan. They have hunting tips on their YouTube channel sometimes. They're avid hunters.
I
hold nothing against the fact that she once chokeslammed me in the middle of a ring, even though it kind of hurt.
Everything hurts you, Sinai.
That's not true. Chokeslams from, like, Sarah Logan and chair shots from Pastor Payne. Those kind of hurt.
You got beat up by that idiot Darth Carter, so.
When did I get beat up by that idiot Darth Carter? I've beaten him every time we wrestled. Well, I take umbrage with that. I am undefeated against that idiot. And I still to this day think that idiot Darth Carter is really Sarah Irene.
Hey, didn't Sarah Irene just get engaged or married?
She became engaged to one Mr. Sexy Pants.
Oh, okay. Boy, that's great. That's fantastic.
About time.
Very good.
It's about time.
Wow, look at you calling out Mr. Pants, saying he's slow on the ball.
Sign, those engagement rings cost quite a bit. It's a step above cubic zirconium.
That's true, but think if he had saved some of the money he spent on all those pants, he would have been able to get it.
Well, that's true, yes. Okay. Well, now, JB, do you know the whereabouts of Gregor Petrov? He's nowhere to be seen, and Sign Guy has a book to deliver to him.
He's probably fishing or something.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that is true. He does have that fishing show he's putting together with JB's brother, Lance Dean. Now, JB, if Henry Godwin were to have interest in purchasing one of those moonshine T-shirts so he can wear it under his overalls at his next match, how would he go about it? What form of payment would he need in order to purchase one of those shirts?
I haven't set nothing up yet.
That makes it hard for people to buy your stuff.
I have to get a PayPal or something set up.
That'd be nice in case he like messages me later asking how he can get one of those shirts.
He always mail me everything.
You want him to like to go to the Western Union and mail you out a check is what you're saying.
Well, normally everybody can find me, and you know, but lately it hasn't been that way. Yes, I've been slow on the ball.
Well, you know, it's 2021. You need to set up a payment system for the fine people.
They
email for the sizes and prices, and then when they want one, you're like, well, sorry, I can't sell it to you.
Normally I'm everywhere. Normally I could get it to the people, but this year it's been kind of hard.
That's true. Plus, what if you have fans in, let's say, Hawaii, and they want one of the shirts? You couldn't just drive over to Hawaii.
No. You're right. I'll have to figure it out. I'll talk to my secretary.
Oh, that'd be huge. Now, speaking of secretaries, did you ever listen to the Tennessee Studcast that Ron Fuller has, where he talked about having his wife come out as his secretary in a feud against, the Stomper, I believe, and he and the Stomper feuded over the secretary? I guess not. It was a good episode.
I believe
we coming to the end of the show here. It was absolutely fantastic having Mark Canterbury come on. We'll definitely have to try to get him on. And he says he might bring his partner with us like the next time. So you might have both Godwins the next time he pays us a visit. You better set up some sort of payment plan for your T-shirts just in case, JB.
I have to figure it out.
And you better pack a bag in case he calls you up and wants you to come out right away to the hot springs in North Carolina.
Yes,
And speaking of North Carolina, I want to take a quick second and wish well my promoter out that way. The promoter of Gouge, Count Grog, has come down with the COVID-19 virus and pneumonia. He's in the hospital, but they're getting his breathing improved. He's doing a little bit better. Hopefully he will kick that in the next few days and be back to 100%. And he'll book me once again to go to Gouge, which was, of course, my only dream in life. But as we wrap up the show, QT, anything last that you need to get out there?
I am now previewing the Sign of the Times episode 462, the Ben edition. Yes.
Ken edition.
Oh, Ken edition, yes. Yeah. Ken Ben.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, okay.
JB, anything else you want to get out there?
I'm hoping that everything goes well, that Road Runner Wrestling. I'm hoping to be able to start going to, you know, doing budget shows again. I'm hoping that, you know, the whole thing gets down and over with. So, I'm just hoping that until then, watch me on YouTube or BCW, and we're always doing the BCW roundtable at Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Just, you know, look it up and keep it out there, and hopefully we'll be back to running my shows again.
Hopefully so. Now, imagine the joy in Henry Godwin's life if some promoter were to book him to tag team with whom I think might be his new favorite independent wrestler, J.B. Moonshine.
That would be awesome.
Well, hopefully a promoter will take advantage of that. Well, fans, definitely stay safe out there. And if you have wrestling near you, go support it. Independents inching their way back in a large portion of the country, so support what they are doing if you have the chance. We'll be back with you next week. Next Friday afternoon, we'll have the return of Tyra Arusame to the show. And then a week from today, we'll be joined by the hooligan, Jared Savage, out of Northwest Pro. So make plans to be with us then. Stay safe. Hopefully buy a JB Moonshine t-shirt once you get the payment system set up. And we'll talk to you soon.